Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Chav Ches. We're beginning on the very top line, Chav Ches Omer Aleph. We're learning today Leili Nishmas, a longtime member of the Shir. We're learning Leili Nishmas, Elliot Platt's daughter, Michelle Beth Platt, Nechama Batya Bas Elio Naftali Halevi. Her Neshama, all the Shama should learn from Shadam and Aliyah from our learning. So again, we begin on the very top line, Chav Ches Omer Aleph, quoting the Mishnah. Mishnah said, Parasha Gedola, Korin Osa Bishnayim Bishachris, with the Musaf of the Mincha, Korin Alpiyim. The Mishnah was a little bit enigmatic. The statement that we read the laning by Shachris, and then it said, and by Musaf, and then it said, and by Mincha, we read it by heart. So was the statement about Musaf going with Shachris, or was the statement about Musaf going with Mincha? In other words, do we read Shachris inside and Musaf inside, and only Mincha outside, or do we read Shachris inside, and then Musaf and Mincha we read Baal Peh? So that's the Gemara's question. What exactly did our Mishnah mean? Do we say b'shachris or musaf koronos of a sefer? We read inside from the sefer Torah by both shachris and musaf, but by mincha koronos al peh ki koronos shema, we read it by heart, just like we say shema by heart. So we say the laning of the mamados by heart by mincha time. Or alternatively, or Dilma, no, Hachiton, this is what the Mishnah said, B'shachris only, Koronos of a Sefer, only by Shachris do we read from a Sefer Torah, but both by Musaf as well as Mincha, but Musaf and Mincha, Koronos al Peh, read it by heart, similar to Koronos Shema. So Gemara says, I'll bring it right from the following Brisa, that the way I had read it in the Mishnah, that both by Shachris and by Musaf we read it inside, and only by Mincha we read it outside, is exactly what the Brisa says. Toshma, the Tanya, the Brisa says, B'shachris u'b'musaf, nichnasim le'is ha'knesses, the people of the Maimid go into the Beis ha'knesses, u'korin keder shekorin kol ha'shana, and they read, like we do from the Sefer Torah, all year round. However, u'b'mincha, b'yachid, kore osa alpeh, by Mincha, the individual reads it by heart, he doesn't read it from the Sefer Torah. And on that, Rav Yossi comments and says, Rav Yossi, b'chayachin yochol likros divrei Torah al peh b'tzibur, can one fulfill the obligation to be motzi others by reading it by heart? No, you can't do that. Ela, what do you do? Ela kulon. Everybody, nichnasin, goes into the shul, b'korin osa al peh, and everybody reads it by heart, similar to everybody reading by heart, the shema, k'korin es shema. So therefore, the way I read it in the Mishnah is the understanding of this braisa that by Shachris and Musaf, we lay inside for the Sefer Torah, for the Maimed, and by Mincha, everybody says it by heart. By heart could also mean that you're reading it from a Chumash. It doesn't mean that it has to be literally by heart. It can mean that you're reading it from a Chumash, but it just means you're not reading it from a Sefer Torah. Now, Kol Sheyesh Bo Halel, Im Bo Maimed V'chule, Mishnah is quoted again where it says that on a day when there is Hallel, then we don't have the Ma'amados. Now, what is it referring to when we don't have the Ma'amados? So the simple understanding over here is that this goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Why Rabbi Yeshua and not Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva eventually retracted, as his son-in-law Ben Azeh said, there's a problem with your understanding, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva was eventually chozer and molded to Rabbi Yeshua. So that's why we're going like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. And what was that? That on the days that they had the Korban Eitzim from the nine families that were Zocha to have a special mini yuntif set up on those days that they dedicated the wood. So on those days, there is no maimed at the Ne'ilah Tfilah, but there is Maimed at Mincha. So Gemara says, Ma Hefresh Ben Zelzeh. Again, there are a number of different ways to understand this, so I'll read first the simple understanding. And what's the difference that we say that there is, according to Rav Yossi, we do say the Maimed at Ne'ilah, but we don't say it by Mincha. So how come that is the case? Why aren't both of them the same? Either say it by both of them, like the original opinion, or like Rav Yossi, you say it by Ne'ilah, but you don't say it by Mincha. So Gemara says, "Halalu divrei Torah, v'halalu divrei Sofer." Mincha is min haTorah, and Ne'ilah is only midrabbanan. Now that obviously is very, very problematic because Mincha is not min haTorah. Mincha is midrabbanan. All the tefillos that we say, Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv, are midrabbanan. As important as they are tefillos midrabbanan. The whole concept of a tefillah, whether it's an obligation or not. Famous lachos Rambam in the Ramban, but certainly the nusach that we have for Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv is midrabbanan. So why is Ne'ilah considered midrabbanan and Mincha is considered midaraisa, so to say? So the Mefarshim give us the simplest teretz, and that is that Mincha has an allusion to it min haTorah. Avram is mesakein tefillah shachris. Mincha was mesukon by Yitzchak, and Maariv was set up by Yaakov. So there are allusions to this. Gemara in Brachos describes it by Yitzchak, for example. Yitzchak went out lasuach basade, and lasuach is a lashon of tefillah. He davened, he conversed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, we have an allusion to shachris mincha maariv min haTorah. Not that they're really min haTorah. There is an asmachta on them, as opposed to ne'ilah. There is no such asmachta, and therefore, that's why halolu divrei Torah is a reference to mincha, and halolu divrei sofim is a reference to ne'ilah. Now, there are some other ways to learn this. Tosus has a slightly different way of learning this. My hefresh ben zelazeh kol, my hefresh ben korban musaf le korban eitzim. He's saying that, no, the hefresh isn't between mincha and neilah, but the hefresh is over here. Why, by musaf, do we say that musaf is docha mincha, and the korban eitzim is not docha mincha, it's only docha neilah, but it's not docha mincha, so that's because Tosus in the next Tosus says hello Divrei Torah. The Korban Musaf, yeah, that's definitely Midivrei Torah. And the Korban Eitzim is definitely Midivrei Sofer. That's the Midrabban. So that's another way to understand this. Gemara goes further by quoting the Mishnah. It tells us there were nine families. It was actually eight families because you'll see one was repeated. But there were these nine families that had special days that were dedicated to them for always to bring the wood. We talked about this a little in the Mishnah, and the Bryce expands on it. Bryce says, Tana Rabbanon, what was going on over here with this special time that they brought the wood offerings? So the Gemara says, the Bryce continues, Amru, Kishalu b'nei Agola, Lamotsu Eitzim Belishka, when they came up from Golos, so Ezra came with the 40,000 plus people, they were very, very poor, and there was no wood. So what were they going to do? How are they going to do all the korbanos if you don't have wood? So Amdu Elu, these families stood up, and they donated the wood from their own pocket to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, so Ezra and the other Nevi'im that were there at that time made an all-time takana and said, Shafilu lishko mulea eitzim, even if there's a plethora of wood, there's plenty of wood in the Beis HaMikdash. You elu misnavi mishalhem, even though we have plenty of wood, and normally we wouldn't let somebody else go and say, here, use my wood for today. But these families, if they want to go and bring wood, they always have the entitlement, they have the hierarchy, the priority to go and have their wood be used for the carbon rather than the wood that's in the stockpile. And this is based upon the pasuk. Shenemar, as it says in Nehemia, Agorolos, hi palnu al korban ha'etzim. So they did a lottery to see who would get to pick. They all volunteered, so who would get to pick and do what days. To bring the wood to the Beis HaMikdash. And they were entitled to go and always bring the wood on those days. That we burned on the Mizbeach Hashem Elokeinu, Kakasu B'Torah. As the Chiyuv in the Torah tells us that we have to have wood to burn the korbanos. So that's the source for this custom that we bring down in the Mishnah of these nine families. Then the Mishnah is again quoted, V'imayim, Kohanim, Ulevim, V'chomi, V'chule. So there were amongst them these people that were known as the Gonve Eli and the Kotze Kitzios. Now, who were these people? So Tana Rabban, the Brice expands on this as well. Ma hayu b'nei Gonve Eli. Who were these people that were known as the Gonve Eli? They were people that stole in, they smuggled in Eli. Eli is a pestle. And Kotze Kitzios are people that cut up figs. So who are these? What is this referring to? So Amru. So Chazal tell us. Pam Achas, once there was a horrible decree. Gozru Hamalchus, some have the gears over here, Rishah, and that's a reference to Rome. Others say, no, this is actually during the first Beis HaMikdash. So it's not clear exactly when this story took place. My own thought is that it actually took place multiple times, unfortunately. We were persecuted many times. You hear the same stories from persecution to persecution. So Nebuch, it possibly occurred more than one time, more than one place in our history. In any event, the Gemara here is referring to a specific situation where the Malchus HaRishah was Gozer, Gezer HaYisrael. They had an evil decree on Klai Yisrael. What was that? Shelo Yaviu Eitzim HaRocha. They forbade us from bringing wood to the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't want us to bring the Korbanos. They knew the importance of the Korbanos, like we learned in yesterday's shir. The Korbanos are what holds the world up and how important they are. They bring an atonement for Klai Yisrael. And the Goyim didn't want us to bring wood to the Beis HaMikdash, so we couldn't bring Korbanos. And likewise, they didn't want us to bring the Bikurim. They understood the importance of Bikurim. That the first thing we always give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that nothing is really our own. It all belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they didn't want us to bring the wood, and they didn't want us to bring Bikurim. And they set up roadblocks. Boshivu prozdos. Prozdos are like security checks. They set up roadblocks on the road, security checks, al hadrochim, and if you were going up to Yerushalayim, they asked you, why are you going? And if you were bringing Bikurim, or if you're bringing wood, they wouldn't let you go through. And they got this idea, Nebuch, from Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeravim ben Nevat is one of the most tragic figures in all of Jewish history. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. He was a huge Talmud Chacham. He was picked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the Melech on Malchus Yehuda. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away from Rehovim, the son of Shlomo Melech, and divided up into Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom versus Malchus Yehuda, Malchus Beis David, that was only a small part of Klai Yisrael. The northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, so that was Malchus Yisrael, and Yeruvim and Nevat was picked by Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Navi to be the leader. And unfortunately, Yeruvim and Nevat turned off the derech. Unbelievable to imagine that the Gadol Hadar, that the greatest tzaddik, really he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, head of the Sanhedrin, should go off the derech. And that's why we always say that no person should ever be so confident that he's not going to go off the derech. If Yeruvim and Nevat, Rachman al-Utzlan, could go off the derech, then anybody could. So a person has to always be on constant defense against his Yetzirah. So what did Yeruvim ben Nevat do? He didn't allow the people to go up to Yerushalayim. He said, if they go up to Yerushalayim, they're going to sit in the Beis HaMikdash, only Malchus Beis David. I'm not allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. People are going to see one king sitting and one king standing in the Azara. They're going to say, he's the real king, he's the fake king. So he didn't let people go up to Yerushalayim. And he set up originally these Mokom of a pseudo Batei Mikdash in two places in the northern kingdom. They were originally for Avodas Hashem. They were really supposed to be to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, they turned into Mokomos of Avodah Zarah. In any event, so Yeruvim ben Nevat set up the roadblocks as well. Shelo Yalu Yisrael Regel. He didn't allow people to go up to be Ola Regel, because again, they would see that Malchus Yehuda was the real Malchus by the king of Yehuda being allowed to sit in the Azara, and he was not allowed. So what happened now in this time? Now we're back to our story. Now the girsa that we have is Sheba Osu Ador V'Yirichet. So the right girsa says in the Sar should be Me'asuk Sheirim V'Yirichet Sheba Osu Ador. What did the God-fearing people, the righteous people in that generation do? Now we're talking here about the time of this Gezeira, not during the time of Yeruvim and Nevat. Possibly they did it then as well. But in the times of this Gezeira, the righteous people wanted to go bring wood to the Beis HaMikdash, and they wanted to go bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. So what did they do? Heviyu Sali Bikurim. They brought their baskets filled with the Bikurim, and they covered them up, the chipum biktzios, with these dried figs. And this way, people didn't look underneath that, and they didn't see they were bringing bikurim. Now, dried figs aren't what you normally bring as bikurim. So therefore, that didn't raise any suspicions. Unetolum, they took these baskets of the dried figs with the bikurim underneath them, the eli al kasveya, and they took a pestle, and they put it over their shoulder. And when they reached the roadblocks, when they reached the security stations, Bakivon Shigiu, Esel pros those. So Amulahem, they asked him, hey, where are you going? Lechatim Ochem. So Amulahem, so these righteous people said, Amulahem, Lasos Shnei Igule Vela, Bachtesa Shilofanenu. We're just going to go press some figs. We have these dry figs over here. We want to make them into a cake of figs. And we can use this Eli that we have with us. And let us go through. Ubeli Shakasvenu, we're going to go press them. So the security guard said, yeah, okay to pass. They let him through the roadblock, and Kivun Sha'ovru Mehen, as soon as they got through, Itrim Besalim, what they did was now they took off the dried figs from the baskets, and they beautified the baskets, and they Vihom Yerushalayim, they brought them up to Yerushalayim as Bikurim. Similarly, the Gemara tells us another story, Tana, Hein Hein B'nei Salmai Hanetofosi. Same idea, Rashi says, Ke'en Maisezeh Osu, the following similar activity was done by this family known as Salmai Hanetufosi. This family was obviously righteous people as well, and the Brisa now tells us what they did. Tana Rabbanan, Mahein b'nei Salmai Hanetufosi, what did they do, this family? So Amru, Chazal tell us, Pama achaz gozro malchus gezeira yisrael. Mistam was the exact same gezeira that we were just talking about when the family brought the dried figs on top of the bikurim. So this gezeira was, you're not allowed to go bring wood, you're not allowed to go bring bikurim up to the Beis HaMikdash. So what did they do? Shelo yaviu etzim l'arocha. They weren't allowed to go bring up wood for the maracha. And how are they going to go? Sneak it past the security gates. Voshivu prozdos aladrochem. They set up the roadblocks, they set up the security, so nobody could get through with wood. Kidero shoshiv yirovim menevat aladrochem. Similar again to what we said, yirovim menevat did to not allow people to be olerega, shelo yalu yisro olerega. Now, me'osu yirechet sheviosu ador. Here we have the right gear. So what are the yirechet? And the kosher people, it doesn't say here the word kesherim, but it means obviously the kesherim, they were yorei chayt. So what did they do? Heviu gizrehen, they brought the wood. Gizrehen is the blocks of wood, the logs of wood. Vasu slomos, but they didn't leave them just as blocks of firewood. They made them into a ladder. So it looked like it was a ladder. V'nichu al kisrehen, they put it on their shoulders. V'hochu lehem, and they went to Yerushalayim, and they reached the security post. Kivin Shigiyu Etzlan, they reached these pros dos. So Amulem, the security guard, said to him, Lehech Lehech Lehech, where are you going? So Amulem, they responded and said, Lehavi goes all those, Mishovach Shelefaneinu. We're bringing these ladders over here to go reach the pigeons in the pigeon coops in the dovecote that is in front of us. So we need the ladders to go and get our pigeons. Ubisulamo Shakasfeinu, with the ladders that we have on our shoulders, we're going to go and pull out all the pigeons. Okay, the security guard say, fine, no wood, we'll let you go through. Kivin Sha'avru Mehen, as soon as they passed through the security clearance, Pirkum, they undid the ladders, the Heviim, the Halum, the Yerushalayim. Now they had the wood, the Gizriyatsim. And they brought them out to Yerushalayim, where they were used for the Ma'arocha. And about these two families, the first family, they brought the baskets of the Bikurim, and the second family, they brought the Sulamos that were the firewood, Valeyan, Valkayotzeban, and others who did the same thing. Well, the Pasuk says about them, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. The famous Pasuk for Mishlei, it says we should remember Tzadik for good. These righteous people, these Yorei Chet, Shemoso Adar, they took their lives into their hands. If they'd been caught and found out, they could have been killed. So, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, that they went to do the mitzvah Bikurim, they went to go and bring up the wood to the Beis HaMikdash. As opposed to Rachmana Litzlan, a Yerovim ben Nevot, Mechaveru, the people that were Yerovim ben Nevot, he's the classical par excellence, Chote Yomachti Nebuch. For all eternity, he's listed as the Chote Yomachti. He sinned himself, and he caused all everybody else to sin. It's about him and his friends. Nehemiah the Pasuk also says, Mishem Rishoyim Yerkov, that the name of the wicked people should ra. Now, this was a very interesting story. There are other stories elsewhere that tell us that amongst these people was Yonah HaMiti, that Yonah was included amongst these people that went up to Yerushalayim. And that was the schus that he was able to be zocher to become a Navi, was because he was included in this group that went up to Yerushalayim. And his wife as well. And she's written also, Zechura Latov. We go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah now starts telling us a little bit about some of these families. So it says, Be'esrim bo b'nei Pachas Moav ben Yehuda. On the 20th of Av, there was a term for the family known as Pachas Moav, which came from Yehuda. Tosos in Dira Maschel, B'nei Pachas Moav says that this means that they came Ba'om Be'zera Rus HaMoavia. They came from the lineage of Rus HaMoavia. That's why they're called Pachas Moav. Now, what does the Brisa tell us about them? Torah. B'nei Pachas Moav ben Yehuda, Hain, B'nei David ben Yehuda. This is the same family as the family that we had also, known as the family of David ben Yehuda from David HaMelech. That's the opinion of Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi may know it was from David HaMelech's sister, from Tzruya, and her son Yoav. They came from that family. Hein, b'nei Yoav ben Tzruya. David HaMelech had two sisters. Their names were Tzruya and Abigail, not to be confused with the Abigail that was his wife. He had a sister whose name was Abigail. And incidentally, I once heard, I never checked this out myself, but Tzruya is the most frequently mentioned woman's name in all of Tanakh, because Yoav ben Tzruya, Yoav ben Tzruya, Yoav ben Tzruya is always referred to as that way, and his name is mentioned many times in Nach, and therefore Tzruya is actually the most commonly mentioned female name in all of Tanakh. In any event, Rav Yossi says that these were, the Pachas Moav was from the family of Yoav ben Tzruya. So in Machlokes with Bnei Yehuda, they came from David HaMelech directly, or they came from his nephew, through his sister, Yoav ben Tzruya. Mishnah continues, we're quoting it and saying, Be'esim Be'elul, from the 20th day of Elul, it was a family of Bnei Odin ben Yehuda v'chulei who brought the Korban Eitzim. Now, again, we have a similar Machlokes as to who they were. So Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us, the Bnei Odin ben Yehuda, this family, Heinem Bnei David ben Yehuda, they were the family of David ben Yehuda. The same Machlokes we just had a minute ago was also in regards to this family. And Rav Yossi disagrees. Here the opinion is not Rav Meir, this is Divrei Rav Yehuda, the first opinion. And Rav Yossi disagrees, Rav Yossi Omer, Heinem Bnei Yoav ben Tzruya. He says it was Yoav ben Tzruya's family over here as well. Mishnah is quoted again, Be'echod B'teves, Shavu Bnei Parosh, Shnia V'chulei. On the first day of Teves, it was a family of Parosh who was allowed to bring the Korban Eitzim again, and they had brought it down once previously, so it's the second time, Shnia. Now, Gemara says, Moni Masnisin, who's the author of our Mishnah, that it only refers to Bnei Parosh coming a second time, and not any of the other families coming a second time, like we just suggested, from the first Machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, and second Machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. So Gemara says, who's the author of our Mishnah? It can't be Lo Rav Meir, Lo Rav Yehuda, Lo Rav Yossi. It can't be any of them, because they all said that somebody else had a second time as well, and our Mishnah seems to say only Bnei Parosh had a second time. So again, the Gemara explains what I just told you. Ira Meir, it's Meir, listen, Shavu Bnei David Ben Yehuda, Shnia. According to Meir, it should have said David Ben Yehuda came a second time. If it's Rav Yehuda, Ira Yehuda, listen, Shavu Bnei David Ben Yehuda, Shnia. It should have said that they came a second time. Or if it's Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi, listen to Shavu Bnei Yoav Ben Tzruya, Shnia. They came a second time. So all of them, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yossi said there was another family besides Parosh that came a second time, but our Mishnah didn't say that. So obviously our Mishnah is neither Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, or Rav Yossi. So one says, no, Leola Rav Yossi. Actually, our Mishnah could be Rav Yossi, and we just have two different opinions. Utrei Tanoi, Alibi Rav Yossi. We have two different opinions as to what Rav Yossi's opinion was, and the author of our Mishnah did not hold like the opinion attributed to Rav Yossi in the Braisa. Tosus points out, why don't we say Trei Tanoi Alibi Rav Meir? We could have said that as well. So in Dibra Maschil, Ir Rav Meir, so he brings down towards the end of this Tosus, and he says, Yesh Lon Lo'okmok Rav Meir, the stomach must nisik Rameya, we could have said over here, Trey Tanoia, Libra the Rameya, and that would have made more sense. So why didn't we do that? So he says, Venir lead, the Lahochi Moki law ki Rav Yossi. Here we pass it like Rav Yossi. Why Mishum the Rav Yossi? Nimuka Wimo. We pass it like Rav Yossi against all his individual colleague friends, and in many situations we pass it even Rav Yossi against the Rabin because he was so careful in his studies. And because he was so careful, Nimuka Wimo, he was very, very careful about how he paskin, so therefore we seem to always paskin like Rav Yossi. That's why it says we prefer to say Trey Tanoia Libra Rav Yossi and have this Mishnah be attributed to Rav Yossi if we could, rather than have it attributed to Rav Meir. Then we quote the Mishnah again. It says, we said the one day of the year that we didn't have a maimon by Shachris, by Mincha, Musaf as well, and no Ne'ilah was Echa B'Teves, because you said Hallel, full Hallel, because Echa B'Teves is Rosh Chodesh Teves. I'm dictating this on Rosh Chodesh Teves, on Sunday Rosh Chodesh Teves, which is still Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah. And therefore, on this day, you have the Musaf for the Rosh Chodesh, you have the Hallel for Chanukah, which we said, as opposed to the Hallel for Rosh Chodesh, didn't make them say by Shachris the Maimon, and the Musaf, they didn't say by Musaf, and as well, we didn't say it by Mincha, because this was the day of the Korban Eitzim. So this was a unique trifecta over here, in that you don't have any of the Mamados on Echad B'Teves, because it's both Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh, and also the Maimon for the family that brought it on Rosh Chodesh Teves. Point for the Korban Eitzim. More questions, says, Amalei Mark Yishisha, Berei de Rav Chista l'Ravashi. Mark Yishisha, who was the son of Rav Chista, as Machlok is elsewhere, does Mark Yishisha mean the older son or the youngest son? So, does it mean that it was Kishisha, he's the older son compared to the younger son, or does it mean that Rav Chista had the son who's known as Mark Yishisha when he was older? So it's really talking about the younger son. In any event, this son of Rav Chista asked Rav Ashi the following, and we turn to Chof Ches on the days, where the Gemara says, Maishno Halel d'dochi d'day, how come by Halel it doesn't, when you have a day of Hallel, like on Chanukah, we don't say the Maimed by Shachris. U'maishno Musaf, the Lo Dochi today. And by Musaf, when we have Musaf, we do not, in fact, Doche the Maimed. Now, the Gemara is going to question, what do you mean we're not Doche the Maimed? Amal Ravashi, Ravashi says to Mark Shisha, and he says, Hashta the Lav, the day Dochi, the day Lo Kosher came. So, are you telling me that the Musaf is capable of knocking off the Mincha Maimed, and it's not capable of knocking off its mon, Didei Lo Kosher Kein? So certainly, if it can knock off Mincha, it certainly should be able to knock off the Musaf Maimon. So what are you talking about? So one says, no, this is what I was asking. Amalei, Mark Yishisha, who's the son of Rav Chista, said to Rav Ashi, this is what I was asking. Hochi Kamin Aloch, Lo Lidche Elo Didei. No, I wasn't saying that it should not be Docha Musaf Maimon. Of course it is. What I was saying is, it should be only Docha the Musaf Maimon, and not be Docha the Mincha Maimon. How come it's able to go and knock off the Mincha Maimon as well? So what does Rav Ashi answer? Amalei, Ikar Rav Yossi, the Koy Kavosach. You're right. In fact, Rav Yossi holds like you. The Tanya, because we learn the rights of Rav Yossi Omer, Kol Yom Sheyesh Bo Musaf, Yesh Bo Maimon. When you have Musaf, there is a Maimon. Now what is it talking about when you have a Maimon? When you have Musaf. Which Maimon is it talking about? Maimon the Maimon. Is it the Maimed by Shachris that you don't have it? That can't be. Because Hotanakama, Nami Hokikuma, the Tanakama says the same thing. So even Rabbi Kiva's Moda, Rabbi Yossi, everybody's Moda, that the Shachris Maimed is not knocked off by Musaf. So that's not only Rabbi Yossi, that would be everybody's opinion. So what is it talking about? Ela Maimed the Musaf? It must be that Rabbi Yossi saying that there's no Maimed of Musaf. So again, the same thing. Didei, Nami Lodoch, if you're telling me it doesn't knock off its own, that's impossible. Of course it knocks off its own. You can't say it can knock off something else, but its own, it certainly knocks off Ela the Mincha. Oh, so it must be that we're talking about that it knocks off its own Maimed, but it won't knock off the Maimed of Mincha. So, where it says, Karban Eitzim Dachi, but it's not the Musaf that knocks off Mincha, it's the Karban Eitzim that knocks off Mincha. So, Ela La the Ne'ila. Oh, it must be talking about that it knocks off Ne'ila. Shema Minah, Didei Dachi. It has the ability to knock off its own, but it doesn't have the ability to knock off anything else. Shmami no didei dochi, the la didei lo dochi, shmami no. That's the raya, and that's the way to learn it. Gemara continues, not happy yet, and says, listening, nami bi echod b'nisan lo avamayimud. Why do you only say echod b'teves, which is Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah, and also you have the Korban Eitzim, so it's a trifecta, it knocks off Shachris, Musaf and Mincha. So the same thing should be on echod b'nisan. You had a family bringing the Korban Eitzim that day, it's Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh has both a Hallel and it has a Korban Musaf. So why don't we say also that this day had no Maimon Shachris, Mincha, and Musaf, listening Nami Be'echa B'Nisa, Lo'i B'Maimud, Mimei She'esh Bo Halel, like we just said, V'Korban Musaf, both of those from Rosh Chodesh, V'Korban Eitzim, the family that was bringing the Korban Eitzim. So Gemara says, there's a difference between, and I pointed this out already several times, between Chanukah Halel, which is a full Halel, and the Minhag to say Halel on Rosh Chodesh, which is, as we'll see, a Chatzi Halel. We'll explain that a little bit more. And that's what Rava answers. Omer Rava, Zoso Meres, Halela de Berei Shacha, the Halel that we say on Rosh Chodesh, Lav D'Oraisa. It's not Edin D'Oraisa. Now, this is, of course, again, raising a great question. Is the Halel of Rosh Chodesh D'Oraisa? So there's a phenomenal Chassam Sofer that says, yes, just like you're obligated to say Halel on Pesach and say Magid and say Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so he holds that on Chanukah, we have an D'Oraisa obligation to go and say Halel Chanukah. So the holiday of Chanukah is a D'Rabbanan, but the obligation to recite Halel on Chanukah, a full Halel, he says is D'Oraisa. Now, that seems to be a minority opinion, as most suggest that, no, the obligation to say Halel on Chanukah is mid-Rabbanan, but it's a full Halel, and it's more of a obligation, as opposed to the Halel that we recite on Rosh Chodesh is only a custom, as the Gemara will explain. So you can understand it either like the Chassam Sofer or like the most standard way to understand it, that there still is a higher priority to the Halel on Chanukah than there is on Rosh Chodesh. And that's what Robert tells us. So also Meres, Halel the Reish Yacha, Lav D'Oraisa, on Rosh Chodesh there isn't an obligation to say Halel. And where do we see that from? The Amar of Yochanan, Mishum, Rav Shimon, Miyot Tzadok. Rav Yochanan said the name of his Rebbe, Rav Shimon, Miyot Tzadok. There are 18 days, Shmona Osu Yom Bashana. There are 18 days during the year where we say a full Halel. Yochid Gomer Ben Es Halel, even an individual, dabbing on his own, completes the Halel. What are those days? Ve'el Hain, Shmonis Mechag, the 8 days of Sukkot, 7 days of Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres, Ushmonis Mechanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah. Because we're up to 16 days. Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, the first day of Pesach, as opposed to the last day of Pesach. And we're not talking yet about Yom Tov Sheni Shal Golis, because we're talking here about Eretz Yisrael. So we're up to 17, 8, 8, and 1. And then we have Yom Tov, we delete the word Rishon, because it's not talking about Yom Tov Sheni Shal Golis here, it's talking about an Eretz Yisrael. Yom Tov Shal Atzeres, Shavuos, Atzeres always called Shavuos. So we're up to 18. And then, ooh, that's the 18 that we're talking about. 8 from Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, the 8 from Chanukah, 1 for Pesach, and 1 for Shavuos. And the Chutz La'aretz, Bagola, Esen V'Yachab Yom, because we have Yom Tov Shel Golias. We have that for Pesach, we have that for Sukkot, and we have that for Shavuos. So therefore, you're adding on an extra 3 days. Here you have Tishah Shmei Chag, you have 9 days now of Sukkot, because it's Sveikah D'Yoma, Ushmonis V'Chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah. Whole interesting discussion why we don't have Sveikah D'Yoma by Chanukah. And the simplest teretz is because then we wouldn't know that there are 8 days the Nes of Chanukah. If you light it 8 days or 9 days, it would be very difficult to know that there's 8 days of Chanukah. So for various reasons, there are other reasons as well, we don't have Sveikah D'Yoma by Chanukah. So we have 9 for Sukkot, 8 for Chanukah, 17. Shnei Yom and Rishon Shel Pesach. Let's say a full Halel only on the first days of Pesach, both in Eretz Yisrael on the first one day, and in Chutz La'aretz, Yom Tov Sheni, Shel Pesach only the first days, not the last days. The last days because Kriyas Yamsuf occurred on the seventh day of Pesach. So Ma'aseh Yodai Tov Mayam, but Tem Rotzim Lomo Shira. So we don't say Halel on the last days of Pesach because it's inappropriate for us to be singing in joy when the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though they're horrible, the Mitzrayim, were drowning. So therefore, we only say a full Halel on the first 2 days in Chutz La'aretz by Pesach. So now we're up to 9 plus 8 plus 2, so that's 19. And then Shavuos is now 2 days in Chutz La'aretz as well. Yom Tov Shel Golias by Shavuos, Ubeiz Ram and Tovu Shel Atzeres. So that's the 21 days in Chutz La'aretz, 18 days in Eretz Yisrael. Now, obviously, it didn't say Rosh Chodesh over here. So the Halel that we said Rosh Chodesh is not on the same level as these 18/21 days. And Maaseh Shoya, Rav Iklu LeBavel. One time Rav went to Bavel. Rav lived in Eretz Yisrael originally, he then went to Bavel, he went around in Bavel, and Chazinu Dekar Karu Halelya Bereish Yachah. He was shocked to see the people were saying Halel on Rosh Chodesh. He wanted to stop them. So Avel Afsukinu, he said, whoa, you're not allowed to do that. However, Kivan Dechaz, when he saw the Komidalge Daluge, when he saw that they were skipping parts, what we call a Chatzi Halel, they didn't read the entire kapitel for two of the kapitlach, and they left out Lolanu, and they left out And they also left out a hafta ki ishma. Oh, all of a sudden Rav realized that this wasn't a normal halal. Kivan l'chazu de kol adagi de luge. So he said, oh my, oh, shma mina. I see from here, minhag avos seyam yodeh. This is a minhag to say halal. And therefore, no reason to stop them from saying it with a bracha even, but it's not the regular halal. The Rav Zatzal, Yoshua Ber Salavechik Zatzal. So his opinion was that therefore, you're only allowed to say halal with a bracha when you're in a minyan, and an individual doesn't have the right to say it. So therefore, he held that in order, if you wanted to say halal with the bracha and Rosh Chodesh, you have to go to a shul, you have to daven with a minyan, and certainly that's the preferred way to do it in any event. Tana, we learned another braisa, Yochid lo yaschil, v'imhisl gomer, an individual should not go and say halal on Rosh Chodesh. That's what I just mentioned with the Rav. This is where we got it from. However, v'imhisl gomer, but if he did begin, he's allowed to go and finish it off. But again, you skip the two verses of Lolanu and Ahavti Ki Yishma. Now we quote the Mishnah again, and here we start discussing Shavasa B'Tamas. We'll try to finish that off today, Mirtz Hashem, and we'll leave the discussion about Tisha B'Av for tomorrow. So, Hey Dvarim Iru Esavaseinu B'Shavasa B'Tamas V'Chulei. We said there were five terrible tragedies that befell the Jewish people on Shavasa B'Tamas, and we're going to go through them now in a little bit more detail. Nishtabru Aluchos Minolim. The first one was that the Luchos were broken by Moshe Rabbeinu when he returned from Shemayim Surah Chayta Ego. That occurred on Shavasa B'Tamas. How do we know that? So, the Gemara says the Tanya, because we learned in the following Braisa, there's a machlokus between the Chacham and Rav Yossi when Shavuos was, when Matan Torah was. It's amazing in its sound. We don't know exactly the day of Shavuos. There's one opinion there was a 6 day, one opinion the 7th day. B'shishal Chodesh Nitnu Aseres Hadibros Yisrael. The Tanakhama and the Chacham hold that it was on the 6th day of Sivan, which is normally what people say. And Rav Yossi says, no, it was the 7th day of Sivan. Rav Yossi Omer B'Shivabo. So this famous machlokus is when did Moshe Rabbeinu get the Luchos? And then he went up to Shemayim for 40 days. That everybody agrees. So according to the opinion of the Chachamim, the Tanakhama man, the Omar B'Shishonit, the Torah was given to us on the 6th day. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go up on the 6th day. He went up to Shemayim on the 7th day. B'Shishonit, no, we got the Luchos on the 6th day, Ubishiva all the Moshe, and Moshe then goes up to Shemayim on the 7th day of Sivan to go get the rest of the Torah. Man, the Amar Bishiva, Rav Yossi says it was on the 7th day, so he didn't stay overnight. He went right up. Bishiva, Nidnu, Bishiva all the Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu went up. So everybody agrees, whether it's Acham or Rav Yossi, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim on the 7th day of the month of Sivan. Dichsiv, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayom Hashvi. It was on the 7th day. So Moshe went up to Shemayim on the 7th day. Based upon this, we can now understand the next pasuk. Siv. It says, "Vayavo Moshe b'socha non vayal alar." Moshe went into the cloud of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and he went up onto the mountain, and he Moshe b'har arbim yom v'arbim laila, and he stayed up in Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, how do you make that calculation? So there are that year was Sivan was Mole, so the 30 days in the month of Sivan. If he goes up on the 7th, we start from the 7th in the morning, so you have the 6 days of Sivan before then don't count. So you have 24 days left in the month of Sivan. Esavero the Sivan, and that is going to be 24 days. And then you have the Shisar de Tamas in the first 16 days of Tamas. 16 plus 24 is 40. Malul Ho Abart, that reaches the 40 days he was in Shemayim. And he comes down on the 17th in the morning. Beshivsa de Tamas, Noches, Osa, he comes down and he sees Nebuch, that what's going on. Utavrino Leluchos. And he breaks the Luchos, Uksiv, and it says, Vahi Kasher Korab El Machne. He comes close to the Machne, Vayarasa Egel, and he sees the Egel. Oh, he's so upset. He throws the Luchos down, and he breaks the Luchos underneath the mountain. So therefore, this was the 40 days, and we see that it turns out that he came down on Shavuos B'Tamas. The second terrible thing that happened to Klal Yisrael was Botel HaTomid. The Korban Tomid was no longer able to be brought. How do we know that this happened on Shavuos B'Tamas? Gemara says, Gemara, this is a Masorah that we have, and we don't have a proof from it from Sukkim, but this is the Masorah that they had. The third thing was Hufko Yer B'Yud Zayin, that the walls were breached on the Shavuos B'Tamas. And more questions, it says, Hufkoir B'Yud Zayin Ava? Really? Was it on the 17th day of Tamas that the walls of the city were broken? The Pasuk B'Feirish says, if you go look in your Miyo, it says, V'Hoksiv B'Chodesh Orvi, the 4th month, that is Tamas, B'Tish L'Chodesh, on the 9th day of the month of Tamas, V'Yechzer Ava B'Yir, Uksiv B'Asrei V'Ti B'Kair V'Gomer. It says B'Feirish, it was not on the 17th day of Tamas, it was on the 9th day of Tamas. So the Gemara says a simple teretz. Omer Rava, you're right, Lokasha. It was talking in the pasuk that we just brought down from Yirmiyahu, Kamba Rishona. That's the first Beis HaMikdash, but that's not what we commemorate Shavuos B'Tamas. That's for the second Beis HaMikdash, Kamba Shniyah, because that's the one that Nebuch is the one that we're still in Golus for. So that's closer to our hearts, and that's why we fast on the 17th. Why don't we fast also on the 9th? Because it would be too difficult to fast 2 days so close together. So therefore, the rabbi said, don't fast on the 9th and the 17th. Just fast on the 17th. The Tanya. For the first Beis HaMikdash, the walls were breached on the 9th of Tamuz, and in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Brisa says, "Bishniya Shavasa B'Av." That was on the 17th day. Now, there's an amazing Tosos in Rosh Hashanah, which I pointed out when we learned the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Tosos says that no, the first Beis HaMikdash was also breached on the 17th day of Tamuz, but the people were so fatumult, the people were so upset, things were so difficult for the Jewish people, that they made a mistake in the day, and they thought it was the 9th day of Tamuz, it really was Shavasa B'Tamuz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to codify that in the Navi Yirmiyahu, even though it's wrong, because I want to see how, I want to show people how bad it was, how difficult it was, and therefore they even got the dates wrong. But both of them, according to that Tosos, were actually on Shavuos B'Tamas. Amazing Tosos. The fourth thing that we said in the Mishnah, the terrible tragedy that happened on Shavuos Matan, was Sarif Apostomus, the Torah. Apostomus burnt either the Sefer Torah of Ezra, or he burnt a lot of Sefer Torah. How do we know it was on Shavuos Matan? As Gemara says, Gemara, it's a Masorah that we have. Finally, the fifth and final thing, and the Girsa that we have, was that it was Apostomus did this, and we brought down the Girsa that Rashi had from the Medrash, that it was Menashe, and it's Huamad, as opposed to Hamid. So either Girsa, whether it's Apostomus who burnt the Sefer Torah, who also put up a Tzelem in the Heichal, or it was Menashe that put up a Tzelem in the Heichal in the Beis HaMikdash, whoever it was, Hamid Tzelem Beheichal, Minol. How do we know that occurred on Shavuos Matamas? So again, the pasuk says, the Chsiv, Mies Husar HaTomid, Velose Shikut Shome. From the time that they stopped the Karban Tomid, which we just said was on the 17th day, we have a Masorah for that, so they also put it on that day, a Shikut Shome. They put in a horrible idol into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Heichal. Mor says they only put in one, the Chad Hava. The pasuk says, "Oksiv kina shikutzim mishomim." There were more than one idol. There were two idols over there. Miyad Rabim is two, so at least two idols were put in there. Why saying only one idol? So Mor says, "Not a problem." I'm a Rav Lokasha. Trey Habu. There really were two idols there originally, and Rashi has, according to his Girsa, which Rashi had, was it was Menashe that put it in there, and according to the Girsa, that it was Apostamus. So Apostamus put in two idols. And what happened? V'nofel chad al chabre, one idol, HaKosh Baruch Hu made fall on top of the other idol, utvare, and smashed le liyode, and broke off one of his hands. Similar to the story with Avram Avinu. And he put the axe in the biggest idol's hand and said to Terach, his father, oh, the big idol beat up all the other idols. So yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu also made it that one idol smashed the other idol, so to say. Vishtakach davaksiv. And they found written on, it's a machlokas, a lot of different gersos over here, both in the Gemara and Rashi. So we'll just learn it nice and simple, like the simple understanding of Rashi over here, is that the idol that wasn't broken, they found written on it the following message, and we turn to Chav Tesam and Aleph. And tzovis lecharuve beisa, Yodoch Ashalimas Le. You want to go destroy Beis HaMikdash? I'm going to show you. I take Kodesh Baruch Hu, so he says, taking action against you. He's taking the karma against you by cutting off your hand, demonstrating that these idols obviously have zero power in the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the whole world, and if Kodesh Baruch Hu has the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, it's because Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash, to be destroyed by our enemies, and not because of any power or zechusim that they had. This concludes the five reasons for the tragedies that occurred on Shavuos Matamas, and tomorrow we'll pick up right over here with the five tragedies that occurred on Tisha B'Av, and then we'll go and conclude the Masechta, just a few more Shiurim, with the beautiful stories of Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. These were the greatest days of Simcha for the Jewish people. B'Meher B'Yomeinu, we should restore the Beis HaMikdash and really have true, tremendous Simcha and glory. This concludes today's Shiur.